Every outcome you are experiencing in your life is as a result of something that you believe. Your beliefs are powerful. They drive the actions you do or don't take, which then leads to the outcomes you experience. Which is why in today's episode, I'm talking about five false beliefs or myths that are likely keeping you stuck and unhappy in an unfulfilling job that's draining you. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, and I share insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. Let's dive in. Hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. Today, we're talking about myths, specifically myths that you hold or have held or have heard that have been keeping you from experiencing career fulfillment. And before I get into myths, I want to start by defining that word myth. I am very big in looking up the definition of words. I believe strongly that our words have power. And I think that a lot of times we can use words without really pausing to grasp the meaning of the words that we're using or the context of the words that we're using. And so I want to start with a definition of a myth and what a myth is. So a myth, if you look up the definition of the word myth, here's what you're going to see in the dictionary: a widely held false belief or idea. A widely held false belief or idea. So a myth is simply a belief you have that is not true. An idea that you have that is a lie. A belief you have that is a lie. Untrue beliefs. And I am harping on this because essentially, if you have listened to a past episode of this podcast, if you have listened to my content, you probably already know how I feel about beliefs and belief systems, but I'm going to share anyway in case you forgot or in case you're new here. So a way that I approach my work, I am a cognitive behaviorist. I believe strongly in the power of your thoughts and your belief systems and how they shape what you feel, how you go through the world, and what you do and how you show up and the actions you take. I believe that so strongly for multiple reasons. From my faith, the Bible talks about the power of our thoughts and how we think. From my life experiences, I have seen how my behavior can and does often change simply based on what I believe. And from my work with my clients, I have seen consistently how my clients' behaviors and actions will shift or change simply based on what they believe. Your thoughts, your belief systems are powerful whether you're aware of them or not. And that's why a lot of times in my work, I try to raise to the surface for people who are listening to my content or even my clients, the power of your belief systems. Because a lot of times, not a lot of times, very often, 90% of the time, we just go through the world without actually pausing to pay attention to what's happening in our heads. We are not really pausing to think about what we're thinking. So we don't really engage in what we call metacognition often, which is the thinking about your own thinking. Like, what are you telling yourself? What stories are you reciting in your head? What are you telling yourself about the world and how the world works and who you are and how you show up and how people see you? And how are all those things influencing how you then show up, what you do and don't do? Every outcome you are experiencing in your life right now started from a belief that you had. I will argue this with anybody. I can trace it back to a belief. Every action you do or don't take starts from a belief, whether a belief about how you'll be perceived or a belief about what will happen when you do or don't do something or a belief about the importance of doing or not doing something. It starts in your mind. Everything starts in your mind and then your actions demonstrate, show the world what you're thinking in your head. And when we look at the cognitive behaviorist spectrum, really the way it goes is your belief systems, your thoughts, so what you're thinking, what you're telling yourself, feed or drive or shape your emotional experiences, so what you feel, what is happening in you physiologically, which then feeds or shapes your actions, your behavior. So that's the continuum, is your beliefs, your emotions, your actions. If I think that, and I, literally after church today, I went and I got a burrito. So I'm just going to use that as an example. Roll with it. Like, just roll with me here, okay? Like, if I think that I need to be eating high protein to reach my weight goals, and so I think that already, and I am feeling hungry. So I think, okay, I need high protein. I'm feeling hungry. I'm also maybe feeling that's making me feel determined to make healthy food choices because, oh, I have goals that I'm trying to reach. So I'm going to eat in a way that aligns with those goals. Well, guess what my behavior is going to be? I went to this new taco spot. I got a shrimp burrito and they had some, they call them loco fries that looked good, like good, good. And I almost ordered them. I actually had to pause. I was on the fringe of ordering them. And literally, like in that moment, I thought to myself, those are deep fried. Deep fried isn't good for you. Don't order the burritos enough. Behavior. I didn't order the fries. It started from what I thought, from what I believe. I believe that if I change how I eat, if I eat healthy, it will show in me physically. That makes me feel determined to hit that goal, makes me feel confident, makes me feel, I don't know, the feeling for self-preservation here. Maybe that's not what it is, but prioritizing my health in that moment and my behavior matched. It doesn't matter any outcome that you are experiencing. If you trace it back, you will see that that outcome came as a result of the actions you did or didn't take. And those actions that you did and didn't take came from your belief systems. Okay. I just had to lay that groundwork. I had to lay that groundwork because if you don't see that perspective, if you don't see that foundational connection between your belief systems and your outcomes, then nothing else in this episode matters. Like, you listen to the episode, but you won't take anything from it. You won't change after listening to it, which to me is pointless. The reason why I create content the way I do is to help people, is to help you self-reflect, to help you reevaluate, to help you change behavior, to help you maybe even decide if you want to work with me as your coach or not. And so I don't want to create a podcast episode for you to just listen and then go about your day. I want you to actually listen while reflecting and thinking about yourself. And so that's why I spent like a good 5 minutes just trying to help you understand and see the connection between what you believe and what you experience. And if you still don't see that and you're confused, maybe here's what I would recommend. Pause and come ask me a question. Get in my DMs on Instagram, ask me a question, share your own side or opinion. If you're watching on YouTube, you can leave a comment below. I'll be happy to interact with you before you go further. Okay? Now, that being said, let's talk about 5 myths that are likely keeping you stuck in your unfulfilling job and keeping you unhappy. These are myths, falsely held beliefs, that I have seen time over time with multiple clients. At this point in my career, I've worked with hundreds of women who are trying to make a career transition or job search. And so I get to hear, like I get very, like I'm not saying I'm like, I get very deep into my clients' minds, like the things they share with me. I know what they're thinking, what they think about themselves, what they believe about themselves. And I often see how that shapes their behavior. And I've noticed over time, 5 specific, this is obviously not all of them, just the ones I want to share today, 5 specific myths that often will keep women from taking the action that they need to take to change their career situations. And when they don't take that action, they end up staying in an unfulfilling career. The first myth is the false belief that free career tests or career assessments online can tell you what career will be most fulfilling for you. So you think that if you take those free tests online, you will be able to figure out your next fulfilling career move. Here's why it's a false belief or why it's not true. First, a lot of times those free career tests online aren't always evidence-based, meaning it's almost like there's a company now that does all those like quizzes and gives you results. And it's not HubSpot. I can't think of it. They have like an orange logo, I think. But my point is, it's almost like some of those tests are like those free figure out which friend's character you are type tests that are not actually based in the evidence of people, characteristics, decision-making, where it can actually give you reliable results. And so that leads to the next thing, where when you then take these tests that aren't reliable, aren't valid, so these are both psychometric terms, reliability and validity, you then get a bunch of results that usually what I see happen the most is they're telling you to do the job that you already do that you know you don't want to do. Like you're seeing recommendations for work you already know you're not going to enjoy, or you're just getting a bunch of information and you have no idea what to do with that information. Like whether it's telling you about how you like to work or who you are or the kind of work you want to do, whatever it may be, it's a ton of information coming at you, but you have no idea how to actually use that information. And so instead of figuring out your fulfilling career, what ends up happening is that you just feel overwhelmed by all that information that you just got from the test. And the overwhelm now makes you feel discouraged and disappointed because you didn't get the result you thought you were going to get. Without clear parameters, all career tests are going to do is give you more information, not clarity. When I work with women in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, we use career assessments, but we use them in a way where, first of all, the assessments are very clearly linked to specific parts of my framework for helping you find career fulfillment. So it's not random career tests, it's specific. Second, each assessment simply helps my clients get answers faster. And those answers are based in what I already believe you need to know based on evidence, based on research, to find a fulfilling career. So the two assessments we use help you very quickly clarify your non-negotiable values and then figure out your zone of genius. So while I use assessments, one, they're not random, they're connected to specific things, but two, I don't just let my clients do assessments and then go off in the world and figure out what's next. Because I'm trained in some of these assessments, because I've worked with tons of clients, I then help my clients think through how to use that information to paint a holistic picture of what a fulfilling career would be like. I tell my clients all the time, like, an assessment is not going to tell you who you are. It's just going to start the conversation, give you a starting point where ultimately the answer is in you. I'm usually just there to guide you into getting that answer using my proven frameworks. So I'm not saying assessments are bad. I'm saying if you believe a free career test or assessment online is what is going to get you into career fulfillment, that's a false belief. Not to mention those free ones, like I said, lack of validity, reliability. I use paid assessments in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, because those paid ones have gone through rigorous research. They have backing of evidence. So they are actually giving you information that is valid and reliable. The second myth, false belief that might be keeping you stuck is that you think making a career change means you have to take a pay cut. You think making a career change is going to equate to a reduction in your salary. And I found that, like, if I think back to the clients who had believed this, or even the women who believed this, what I've noticed as a pattern is that it's usually the women who are currently making the most money they've ever made in their career. So because you're, and this might apply to you, if it doesn't, let me know. Again, DM me on Instagram. I love talking to y'all. But what I've seen happen is because you're currently getting paid the most money you've ever been paid in your career, you start falsely believing that nobody else will ever pay you that much. You start thinking that this is the peak, really, of your financial earning potential in your career because you haven't seen this much money before. For some women, as I was talking, I thought about this one, you might not be making the most money, but maybe you are a breadwinner in your family or you're contributing significantly to your family's finances. And so you're just worried about taking a pay cut point blank period. You might not, how do I want to say this? Yeah. So, and so you think that making a change increases the risk that your salary will drop. And so you're not ready to take that risk. I would say those are the two maybe buckets that I see women fall into when they believe this myth. And more often than not, there's no data or evidence to back up this belief that you have. It's simply a story you crafted for yourself. Maybe based on your history in your career, maybe based on what people have told you. I don't know where it comes from, different places, but you've told yourself the story. You have made the story true. And now that you're in a job that you're not happy in, you're in a job that is making you miserable, making you feel undervalued, making you feel stressed, you know that you're unhappy, but the money's keeping you there. And so now you're bound by what we call the golden handcuffs, where the money is the only part of your day that's good. And so literally it's like payday, and then every other day is trash. And payday just means either you get to pay your bills or maybe you buy one nice thing to placate you, but then you are spending more time feeling exhausted and unfulfilled than feeling happy. Because again, after a while, the money goes until the next month or the next week when they pay you again. And I think the shift that you need, not think, I know, the shift that you need to make here, one, research your options. A lot of times, like I said, there's no evidence to back up this belief. You haven't actually gone out there and done research in other roles to say for a fact, nobody is going to pay me as much or more than this. Most women, like, I don't think I have ever come across a woman who believed this lie and had done the research into other roles and was able to confidently say to me, no, Tega, I've done the research. Nobody's going to pay me this much. I haven't worked with anybody like that. So do your research into your options. Two, remember that you get a say in the career you're going to end up doing. I think this is now, okay, the third bucket. Okay, this is the third bucket of women who might fall in here. the people who believe that there's only one specific dream job out there for you, and that dream job doesn't make money. So maybe, oh, I want to be an artist and artists don't make money, which also is a lie. Or, you know, I want to work for a nonprofit and nonprofits don't make money. I just worked with a client from a nonprofit who was getting paid $150K, right? So you have tied your fulfillment to one specific job. And you have to recognize or realize, if you don't know, that you can be happy doing multiple things. I can right now, off the top of my head, list like 4 other jobs that's not my faculty role that I would be fulfilled doing. We are multifaceted as human beings. There isn't just one dream job out there for you. In fact, I recorded a 2-part podcast episode series on dream jobs. So if you just search whatever platform you listen to the podcast, and if you search dream job is a myth, it should come up. But I talked about how your dream job is a myth. There's no such thing as a dream job, and it's keeping you stuck. And so let me get back to the money part of things. Do your research, see what roles are out there. And then of those roles, which of those will actually pay you in alignment with what you want to get paid? That's where I'm getting at, right? Like, you ultimately get to decide how much you get paid based on the types of jobs you apply for. So yes, you can make a career change and take a pay cut if that's the kind of role you pick, but you can also make a career change and increase your salary based on the role you pick. So stop thinking that you're a victim of your circumstances and your career is just going to happen to you. You have some say and some control in this situation. And then that brings me to the third myth. So the third false belief that's keeping you stuck in that job that you hate. And this belief is that you think being or transitioning into a fulfilling career means starting over in your career. You think that if you make a career change, you're going to lose all the time you've invested in your career so far, all the energy you've invested in your career so far, all the skills you've developed in your career so far. You think they're all just going to disappear when you transition into career fulfillment. Now, here's the problem and why you believe that. You don't know what your transferable skills are. And let me define real quick, just if you've never heard that term. Transferable skills refers to the skills you have that can transfer across different industries, companies, or roles. So skills that you have in one role that you can use in a different role, in a different industry, or a different organization. I promise you, you have more transferable skills than you think you do. And I can say that for a fact because I have never worked with a client who was aware of all the transferable skills that she had. More often than not, my clients are surprised, shocked even, when I help them identify the skills that they have. So that's, I would say, the first problem is that you don't know what your transferable skills are. And part of why you don't know what your transferable skills are is that you are conflating your work tasks with your skills. So your work tasks are the things that you do day to day in your organization. So let me use myself as an example. I'm a faculty member, right? That's my full-time job, is as a faculty. My work tasks include teaching lessons, doing research. I coordinate our doctoral program, so recruiting new students, telling them about the program, organizing our students' data. Because we're accredited, our students have to give us a bunch of data, helping organize. Those are some of my work tasks. Work tasks are company and industry specific, meaning I will not have to recruit doctoral students in any other industry except a faculty role or in academia for a doctoral program, right? Like, that is industry specific. And when you are only focused on your work task, that's what leads to you thinking what you're doing now is all you can ever do. Because you only see yourself through the lens of your work tasks and your current job, you can only see yourself doing what you do now. And that's part of what makes you stuck, because then you don't take action to think of or even do anything else, because your brain keeps telling you what I'm doing now is all I can do in my career. But skills are the things that drive the work tasks. I always say, or the illustration I like to use is, think of your work tasks as the body of a car, and your skills are the wheels or the tires that make the car move. So I'm not like a car person, so roll with this. But in my head, so if I think of like, okay, I have like, okay, a Mazda CX-5, a Honda CR-V, a Toyota, a Highlander might be too big, something, I don't know. Cars with the same body size, right? They can all, like, you can get 4 different cars that use the exact same tires, the exact same wheels. Like, if you go to a wheel shop right now and you say, I need a new tire, they're not going to say, oh, you can only use the Toyota tire. No, they're going to look at the size of the car and say, okay, here's the wheel that makes the most sense. I hope you're tracking with this analogy. Your skills can go across the different bodies of a car. Your car body only fits with one car maker, right? Like, you're not going to see a Toyota Corolla and say, oh, I can take this and make it a Honda. No, it's a Toyota, right? That's the exact same scenario. So now let me bring you back to an example that might make more sense. I talked about my role. A lot of the work tasks that I mentioned earlier were very academic focused. But within those roles, I often used communication, research skills, data analysis skills. Girl, I forgot my own skills. Written and spoken communication, interpersonal skills, organizational skills, problem-solving skills, decision-making skills. These are all skills that I often use to complete those work tasks I mentioned earlier. Guess where else I can use all those skills? Many, many. I had to come close to the microphone there. Many other jobs and industries. Like, none of the skills I mentioned are industry-specific. So once you start separating your work tasks from your work skills, it will help you better understand how transferable your skills are and the fact that going somewhere else doesn't mean starting over, because you will take all those skills you developed with you to the new place. Just because you're changing doesn't mean all your skills and value just disappears into thin air. No, those skills will go with you. Those skills are what are going to help you market yourself in a different role. Those skills is what will help you be successful in a different role. I always think, like, the only time, even then you're not really starting over, but I was going to say the only time you're really starting over in your career is if, like, you're transitioning into a role that requires content-specific skills. So in my program, Find a Fulfilling Career, I teach you the three different types of skills, and one of them is content-specific skills and knowledge. So I think of, if you wanted to go become a doctor, you're going to have to go to med school, right? If you want to be a counselor in America, you're going to have to get a master's degree. If you want to be, and this is why I was saying even then, because I can't think of many more jobs than that. But even in those cases, the reason why you're not starting over is, yes, if you want to be a doctor, you're going to go to med school, but you're going to med school to learn the content-specific skills. But if you have interpersonal skills, if you have organizational skills, those will go with you when you're a doctor. So you're never really starting over. You just think you are, because you've only seen yourself in this one lane, because you've been in that one lane your entire career. But now you're unhappy. You know it's not working for you. You know you're unfulfilled. So it's time for you to get rid of that false belief that has been keeping you from taking action to even just figure out what else you could do, not to mention making the change. Okay, the fourth belief, or, you know, false belief, the fourth myth that is likely keeping you stuck in that unfulfilling job that you hate is thinking that making more money will automatically lead to career fulfillment. You think making more money means you'll have more fulfillment. I can't tell you how further from the truth that is. Like, do I advocate for making more money? Abso-freaking-lutely. I think women are underpaid. And that's why in my program, Find a Fulfilling Career, one of my goals is to help every woman who goes through that to increase her salary by at least $10,000. Money is wonderful. Like, when people say money can't buy happiness, I'm like, you ain't never went on a vacation, have you? Because first class luxury hotel, I'm happy if I'm doing those things. So yes, money can give you access to things that make you happy. So let's fix that. And at the same time, when it comes to your career, your salary does not equate with fulfillment. I have worked with women who have come to me and said, I make good money, but I'm not happy. I'm ready to be happy. Like, straight up. Those were not my words, but their words. There's a book called, I think it's called The Second Mountain, where he talks about people who had reached the pinnacle of their careers, who had, by all accounts, been successful in their careers, but were unhappy, and they left that pinnacle to climb a different mountain. And that new mountain, what they were looking for was meaning and fulfillment. And when I think of, I have a podcast episode called The Major Keys for Career Fulfillment. If you just do a search for Major Keys Career Fulfillment, you'll find that episode. But one of the major keys to have a fulfilling career is doing meaningful work. However you define meaningful, we all have this deep innate desire to be meaningful, to contribute to society, to have impact, to change people's lives in whatever way, shape, or form that we can, however we define it. And so, yes, you can be making a ton of money, but if your work doesn't feel meaningful, if your work doesn't feel like it has a point, I was going to say if it's pointless, you're going to be dissatisfied. You're not going to be fulfilled. Like, yeah, girl, you'll be able to buy yourself nice things, a nice bag, but you'll be crying while you're buying those nice things. Let me just tell you. Right. And so if you have thought that the problem, like maybe you're unhappy in your career, you're unfulfilled, and you have thought to yourself, if I could just make more money, I would be more fulfilled. That's not correct. And I want you to know that I'm being intentional about my language. I didn't say I would be happier, because for some people, it really is more money, right? Like if you're not getting paid enough to pay your bills, to feed your family, to buy a winter coat in the wintertime, right? Like if you're not making enough money for the basic necessity to have good healthcare, then yes, like absolutely, like your happiness is on the line, right? But if you already have those basic security survival needs met, like you have a job that allows you to have the privilege of choice, my assumption is usually then those basic needs have been met, but your work is making you unhappy. Your work is making you doubt yourself, doubt your value, feel lack of confidence in yourself, and you want to do something else. But you've been telling yourself, oh, if I just make more money, I will be more fulfilled. That's not accurate. You will just be making more money while being unhappy. Like, that's what will happen. Alignment is the only thing that leads to more fulfillment in your career. And when I say alignment, what does that mean? When you as a person are aligned with the work that you're doing, that is the only way you will experience career fulfillment. When your work is aligned with your values, the things that are important to you, your boundaries, when your work is aligned with your interests, the things that engage and motivate you and excite you, when your work is aligned with your high power skills, the skills that make you feel good about yourself, that is when you will feel fulfillment in your work, because you will be doing meaningful work that makes you feel like you get to be authentically yourself and make a difference in the world at the same time. Now, before I share the final myth, let me say, because I think I've mentioned it a couple of times now, but if any of this is resonating with you and you are ready to do fulfilling work, then I want to invite you to check out my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. FYFC was built to help you find career fulfillment, secure a job that makes you excited and motivates you and restores your work-life balance while increasing your salary. So if you just go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com, that link is in the show notes or in the description, wherever you're listening or watching. Check out FYFC. All the details that you need to know about joining the program are there. There's an FAQ on there. There's a ton of client results that you can see on there. And if you're checking it out and you're thinking, I still have questions, I don't know if I want to join yet, just DM me on Instagram. I'm at hercareerdoctor on Instagram. I will answer any questions that you have, okay? So I wanted to share that because I know I had mentioned the program, but you might be thinking, what is she talking about? Find Your Fulfilling Career is what I'm talking about. So you can go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com to learn more. So now let's get into the fifth and final myth that is likely keeping you stuck in that unfulfilling job that's making you miserable. And this one is a bit of a doozy. But that false belief, the last false belief, is you think that you need a new degree or a new certificate to make a career change. You think you need a new degree or a new certificate to make a career change. Here's why I said it's a doozy. Because man, women, we are notorious for this one. I'm going to be candid with you. Like a lot, I've worked with quite a few women who just thought, if I just get that MBA, if I just get that advanced degree, I'll figure it out. I can't make a change until I get more education. And without fail, when I hear that, I can tell you without fail that the problem isn't the information you will get from the degree. The problem is your lack of belief in yourself and your ability to do that job. Because unless you're going into like a doctor, you need a degree, maybe you want to be a program manager and you think the PMP will increase your chances. Maybe, because you can do the job without it. So as I said, maybe. But more often than not, it's usually like the MBA, some leadership certificate, some course to upskill. And I'm like, you didn't even try to make the change yet. You just defaulted to, let me spend more money and get this degree before I even try to make a change. And that almost always without fail comes from a lack of belief in yourself, a lack of confidence in your ability and your skills. Because what you're not recognizing here is that a degree or certificate isn't going to give you new skills. Unless you are learning skills in that degree, which most degrees are not skill-based unless they are content-specific, all you're doing is getting more knowledge and more information. You aren't adding new skills and more letters after your name. But you're not adding new skills to your repertoire. You are spending money to get more information that you probably didn't even need to make that change. Not to mention, here's one, not to mention, when you get this degree, what's the job you're going to do? Most of the women I work with don't have an answer. They just defaulted to, let me get a degree But it's like, if you don't even already have clarity about the role that you want, how do you know that you need a new degree? How do you know that you need a certificate? Like, what is the certificate for? What are you going to get a degree in? What are you going to study? Like, until you have clarity, you can't say for a fact that you actually need to study some more. So that's why you always, always have to start with clarity. Because you might get clarity that, oh, I want to go into HR. And okay, I've been a school psychologist up until this time. So yes, at this point, because I know what I want to study, what I want to go into, I am going to go get an HR certificate because that will help me make that transition better. Yes, at that point, I am. Yes, let's go study some more. Boom, bam, let's go. But more often than not, that's not how it works. More often than not, the thought process is, I don't have the skills that I need to do anything else. So let me go study. Let me go get a degree. Let me get a certificate so that I can build my portfolio, build my repertoire, upskill, and then I'll make a change. But girl, what are you going to change into? Yes, you got the MBA. Now, what job are you going to do? What job are you going to apply for? You don't know. You don't know. You don't know because you don't have clarity. And let me back up a little bit because I feel like I'm coming for you. Let me say that I recognize that this belief also often comes from society. As women, we often feel a need to prove ourselves. We feel like we have to prove ourselves, prove who we are, prove that we're competent, prove that we're capable. And sometimes we think that getting more degrees or certificate will help us do that. But what you're doing is getting false confidence. That's all your degree is giving you. It's giving you a false sense of confidence in your ability, because guess what? When you finish studying, when you get that degree, you're going to be like, it's been 2 years and I still don't have a job, or I'm still not fulfilled, or I still don't know what I want to do. A degree is not going to answer that question. A degree is not going to tell you what you want to do. Clarity about who you are, that will tell you what you want to do. Once you have that clarity, then you can ask yourself, do I need to upskill to successfully transition into this thing? If the answer is yes, girl, I'm the first one to tell you to get a degree. I have a PhD. I have nothing. I have three different degrees. I have nothing against degrees. I have 2 degrees in counseling. I love degrees. I have certificates. Like, I love being credentialed. Okay, I have nothing against that. But every credential that I have is directly related to something I wanted to do in my career already, not backwards. So that's what I want to offer you. Get clarity first. Don't go straight to the degree. You're just going to get more debt and feel annoyed because you got the debt and you still don't have a good paying job. So now what? Get clarity first, and then you can attempt to get a degree or study more or upskill. So there you have it. The 5 different myths or false beliefs that are keeping you stuck in that unfulfilling job. You think that a free career test online is going to help you get career fulfillment. You think making a career change means you're going to have to take a pay cut. You think making a career change means you're going to have to start over in your career. You think making more money automatically means career fulfillment. Or you think you need to get a new degree or certificate to make a career change. All, if you believe any of those, I hope you've been able to hear from what I shared today that they are false beliefs, and those false beliefs have kept you from taking action to change your situation. So I hope you reflect on what you heard today. You'll check out FYFC so that you can work with me, get expert guidance to help you not only secure a fulfilling career, but even overcome those beliefs. Because if you don't work through and develop strategies to overcome the beliefs, they will show up again later in your career. And that's one of my favorite things about FYFC is that I always say, I want to be the last career coach you ever work with. I'm teaching you what you need to make career decisions for the rest of your career, not just now. So definitely, if you haven't, check out findyourfulfillingcareer.com to join us. And if you have any questions about this episode, feel free to slide in my DMs on Instagram. I'm at hercareerdoctor. I always love chatting with you. Thank you again for listening to today's episode, and I will catch you on the next episode.